Let's pray and commit this time to the Lord as well. Heavenly Father, we ask as we look at your precious word this morning that you would again impart words of life to us, words of encouragement, exhortation, those things that we need to hear this morning that will really propel us, in a sense, into the year ahead with renewed life and vigour. So Father, help us, we pray. Lord, we want to meet with you in your word as you've met with us in our time of worship this morning. We want to continue meeting with you in the word. Let it not be a dry word this morning, but something full of your life, we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, Philippians chapter 3. Let's read the whole thing, although we're looking at a few verses in this. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing again is no trouble to me, and it is a safeguard for you. Beware of the dogs, beware of the evil workers, beware of the false circumcision, for we are the true circumcision, who worship in the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus, and put no confidence in the flesh. Although I myself have confidence even in the flesh, if anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more. Circumcised the eighth day of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to the righteousness which is in the law, found blameless. But whatever things were gained to me, these things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ. I may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Excuse me. Not that I have already obtained it, or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect or complete or mature, have this attitude. And if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. However, let us keep living by that same standard to which we have attained. And we'll leave it there. Well, I wonder what your year's been like, 2015. If you had to give it a rating, a grading from 1 to 10, 1 being poor, 10 being good, I wonder what you'd give it. Whether it's been a good year, an exceptional year, a pretty rubbish year, really. Well, we're not very good judges at giving it a grading, are we? And we're not the best people to do that. We need to leave those sort of things with the Lord, really. Because he's the one that knows what he's doing in our lives. And sometimes we can judge rather mistakenly by our emotions, by just a wrong way of thinking, really. So I don't know what kind of year you've had. I'm sure many of you had difficulties, as well as some very good times as well, spiritually. But that's nothing unusual, because the Lord says very clearly in his word, we will have difficulties in life. But the wonderful thing is, it's in those difficulties that we can prove him, that he draws alongside, and he gives all the grace that we need. So I don't know what kind of year that you had, but the wonderful encouragement of this chapter really is, and all scripture, is that we look forward, is that we press on into all that God has for us. And that's the encouragement I want to bring this morning. God wants you and I, and us as an assembly, to press on to all that he has for us in 2016. That passage there says in verse 12, I think it was. Not that I have already obtained it or already made perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Do you realize this morning, friends, that the Lord Jesus Christ has laid a hold of you? That's the position you're in this morning if you are in Christ. If you are not in Christ, he has not laid a hold of you. And that word laid a hold of actually means to possess, to appropriate. He's taken you to himself. And that's what God does for you and I when we become his and put our trust and faith in him. If you've not done that this morning, friends, you're not in that very firm and secure grip of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you need to consider where you are. May the year ahead be one where you come to faith in him and really get a hold of him as he lays a hold of you. Because that's what he wants to do. He doesn't want you to remain outside of that grip, that place of safety and security. He wants you to come into that place where he has you firmly in his grip and you belong to him. What a wonderful place to be, friends. We belong to Christ. We belong to him. He's paid the price. He's bought us at such a great cost. And we belong to him. We don't belong to ourselves. I don't belong to me, and you don't belong to yourself. You belong to Christ. You're his. He's taken you for himself, and he has laid a hold of you. And friends, I want to assure you this morning, the grip that the Lord Jesus has upon you is firmer than anything else. There's nothing firmer than the grip the Lord Jesus has on you. Nothing can take you out of his hand. Oh yes, we can take ourselves out. But nothing and no one in all of creation can take us out of his grip. Well, that passage also said there, that verse, that we then need to lay a hold of that for which Christ has laid a hold of us. You see, the Lord Jesus lays a hold of us so that we can then lay a hold of all that he has for us. And do you know what? There's so many things that God wants to bring us into as an assembly. And praise God, he's doing that. He's bringing us into things. And individually, he wants us to lay a hold of things that he's laid up for us, those treasures, those things to do, those good works that he's prepared for us. God wants us to lay a hold of them. The same word is used there. It means to possess, to appropriate. You see, when the people of Israel came out of Egypt, the Lord got hold of them with a tremendous grip. And he brought them out. And he must have been sorely tempted to let go of them. All the things that they did. And yet he didn't. You see, the Lord committed himself to his people. And he is still committed today to his people. Regardless of where they are. That's the God we have. He is committed to us, even when we make mistakes. If you've made a lot of mistakes in 2015, well, be assured, God is still committed to you. Of course, we have to repent and get things right with him. But nothing will dampen his commitment to you and I, and to us as an assembly. The Lord is committed to us, friends, as an assembly. And he wants us to lay a hold of things in the year ahead that he has laid up for us. And we need to press on into that. We need to press on into those things. You see, the Lord regards us, you might find this hard to believe, as a precious treasure. Let me just read to you from Deuteronomy, I think it's 26. This is what the Lord said to Israel. And it's verse 18. Well, let me read verse 17 as well. Remember what Amalek did to you along the way when you came out from Egypt. How he met you along the way and attacked among you all the stragglers at the rear, at your rear, when you did not... look at the wrong verse there. That didn't make sense. So that's chapter 25, that was... let me just read 26 verse 18 again. The Lord has today declared to you to be his people, a treasured possession. Wow. Do you realize that's where how the Lord regards us in his Son? He regards us as a treasured possession. He has laid hold of us, he possesses us, and we are regarded as a treasured possession. And therefore, he wants to bring us into everything that he's laid up for us. And we need to lay a hold of those things. Just as Israel had to go in and possess the land, it wasn't going to be easy. It wasn't going to be easy for Israel. There were going to be many battles, many obstacles, of course, many encouragements, many victories. It wasn't going to be easy. And that's the same, it's the same for us today, individually, but also as an assembly. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be a walk in the park, a stroll in the park, because we're living in evil days, increasingly dark days. But no matter how difficult they may be, we have a God who's much bigger than any problem we may face, bigger than any enemy we may come across. And that was the testimony of Israel, really. No matter what enemy they faced as they went into that land, God was bigger. God was stronger. God was able to bring them to a place of victory and enable them to lay a hold of what he had laid up for them. Now, of course, we know there were shortcomings and they didn't lay a hold of everything. And we have the lessons in Scripture so that we can not fall into the same trap. But friends, there are things that God has laid up for us as an assembly, as well as individually, that he wants to bring us into in the year ahead. I want to look briefly at how we're going to do that from the corporate point of view and also individually as well. But certainly, something Simon's mentioned already this morning, I mentioned on New Year's Eve, the prime way, if you like, is that we've got to go on seeking God. There is no laying a hold of the things that God has for us if we do not seek him. We have to seek him corporately. We have to seek him individually. It's only then that he can bring us into those things. If we neglect to seek him, we cannot press into those things. It's impossible. It's impossible. Well, friends, how are we going to do that then? How are we going to lay a hold of those things that God wants us to lay a hold of in the year ahead? Well, look at verse 12 and 13 again. The first thing, it's remarkable how honest Paul is, isn't it? If anybody could have regarded themselves as complete and perfect, it must have been Paul. But what did he say? Not that I've already obtained it or already become perfect. And then he says it again in verse 13. Brethren, I do not regard myself as laying hold of it yet. We need to have a right judgment of ourselves. If we do not have a right judgment of ourselves, we will not lay a hold of those things that God has laid up for us. Because quite often we'll think we've already got them already. See, there are two extremes to fall into. The one extreme is to think we can't really lay a hold. These things are too difficult. God can't really want me to lay a hold of this or that or this. And that really is a lack of faith. That's unbelief. If God has said he wants to take us into something, then he will take us into it as we put our hands in his and walk with him, as we press on with him. The other extreme is, of course, to think that we've got everything already. And I have met believers that think they're a lot further on than they really are. And it's a real shame because they never really press on then into the things that God has for them. Because quite often they mistakenly think they've got them already. And they haven't. So let's be like Paul. Let's have a right discernment, a right estimation of ourselves. Individually, but also as an assembly. Now, how do we get that right estimation? It certainly comes as we seek God, as we listen to him, as we have that relationship with him. God isn't going to pull the wool over our eyes and say, oh, you're at this point, when really we're at this point. He's going to do that. He's going to tell us plainly where we are. He's going to make it very clear what we have to go into, what we still have to do, what he's still expecting for us, from us. He's not in the business, as some are amongst men, of perhaps saying woolly things to us that are not really true. He doesn't do that. He doesn't waste words either, God. He says this as it is. And therefore, as we spend time with him, both corporately and individually, God will make it clear where we are as believers. We'll have a right estimation of ourselves. We'll have a right estimation of ourselves. So friends, let's continue to seek him. Let's continue to be in his word. And allow him to speak to our hearts so that we can have a right estimation of ourselves. Well, secondly, in that verse 13 it says, "There, brethren, I do not regard myself as laying hold of it, but one thing I do." Isn't it funny? He says one thing I do and then says two things. One thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. See, the two are so linked that they can't be separated. You can't press forward and lay a hold of something if you're forever looking behind. And if you won't let go of things in the past. And friends, can I encourage you this morning to let go of 2015 or 2014 or whatever's gone before that. If you've made mistakes, get right with the Lord, but then press on. If there are things that you need to be prayed through with, then come and see the elders. And we'll pray with you if there are things in your background that need to be dealt with. These can be dealt with as well. But there's nothing that can't be dealt with by God. And we need to forget them. We need to leave them behind. Not have them around our neck as an albatross, if you like. Well, that's a slightly different context, isn't it? But in the same sort of thing, our successes need to be left behind as well in the right way. We need to forget them in the right sense. Of course, we need to remember them and praise God for all he's done and give him praise and glory. But there's a sense in which we need to forget them. Because the danger is, of course, when God has led us in a victory, we then want to apply the same strategy every time we come into some battle. And hasn't the church fallen into that so many times? Haven't we? I know myself individually, we've done something. Oh, that works. Let's try it again. Let's do A, B, C, and D, and we're bound to lay a hold of whatever God is taking us into. God doesn't work like that. See, immediately we do that, the onus is on us. It's on me. And therefore it's all to do with what I'm doing. And I'll get the glory as well. So God isn't in that business. He wants us to continually be looking to him, to seek him, so that we can move on into the new things that he has for us individually and together. And we don't need to worry about, in a sense, the things that have happened before. Yes, there are lessons God will have taught us, and we need to learn the lessons, of course. But things like strategies and the way that God leads us, let's look to him constantly and continually. Let's forget, in that right sense, the things that are behind, so that we can press on. You see, it's only when we've forgotten them and let them alone that we can then press on. Now, you may say to yourself, well, I find it very hard to forget this. I can't forget it. It's too difficult. Friends, we need to exercise our will. In Christ, it is perfectly possible to forget them. The Lord Jesus would not have put this in his word if he didn't mean it. I've got a verse written down here, if I can just find it. Philippians 2 verse 13, I'm going to get the right chapter this time. It says this, just back a page in my Bible. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. God is at work in us, friends, so that we can will in line with his will. So we can choose to do the things that he wants us to do. And part of that is to forget things that we need to forget. So don't be a defeatist here, friends. Don't be unbelieving. God is able to give you all the grace you need to leave things behind, to forget them, so that you can press on with him. That's what he wants. He doesn't want us to be dragged down and dragged back. He wants us to move forward with him. But we have to forget first. We can't possibly press on as he intends if we don't do that. So then, that's verse again, verse 13. So the one thing I do, forgetting, is part of that one thing. What lies, and then secondly, reaching forward to what lies ahead. Reaching forward, the word here actually means a sort of stretching. A stretching. And you know, God has to stretch us spiritually. If we're going to move on with him, then quite often he puts us in places we've never been before. It's a bit uncomfortable maybe. But what it does when he puts us in those places, it causes us to look to him. Because we recognize we can't do it ourselves. We haven't been that way before. And if we've not been that way before, we've got nothing to fall back on apart from him. So there's a stretching forward to the things that he has for us. A stretching. It means that we will have to trust him in everything, in always, in everything we come into. We won't be able to fall back on anything else but him. May we do that, friends. May we reach forward with our Lord Jesus Christ in him to everything that he has for us in the year ahead. Fourthly, in this particular passage, verse 14, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The fourth thing we need to do is to keep our eye on the prize. To keep our eye on the prize. Not fix our gaze down here on all the problems that we might face, on all the difficulties, on the increasing darkness we might be seeing around us. God doesn't want us to do that. He wants us to fix our gaze on the prize, which is the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He is calling us home, friends. You realize that? The Lord is bringing us home to himself. We're on a journey in Christ and we're heading home. This is not our home. We're down here for a very short time, aren't we? Some of us have got less time than others. But wherever, if we're in Christ, he's calling us home. And our gaze is to be there on him. Which is why Colossians says, set your minds on things above. That has various meanings, but one of them is on the prize itself. Upon the Lord Jesus. He is our prize, friends. He's our great reward. Our gaze is upon him and upon all that he has for us in eternity. So let's keep our gaze upon that prize. Let's remember that we have a very real purpose in our lives now. We're not living without any hope and without any purpose, which is what the world does. It has no hope and no purpose in its life. But we have a tremendous hope and we have a wonderful purpose in our lives. And we are aiming for that prize, which is the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That's where he's taking us, friends. He's not leaving us down here just to muddle through and then just forget about us. He's drawing us up to himself. And we need to remember that. If we keep our gaze aright in the year ahead, we've heard that this morning already, then the Lord will ensure that we move forward with him and we're able to lay a hold of the things that he has for us. That's what he wants to do. Well, I want to look at one other passage now, please. Go back to Ephesians 5 and verse 16. Because one of the other things that we're going to be need to be doing, if we're going to lay a hold of everything that God has for us, is we need to be a people that make the most of the time that we have. And this is what this passage brings out here. From verse 15 of Ephesians 5. Therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, or redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Well, that perfectly describes these days. We're living in evil times, increasing darkness. Therefore we are to make the most of the time that we have. That is the verse, we won't look at it for the sake of time, in Colossians 4 verse 5, which says, make the most of every opportunity with outsiders. And it talks about being wise there as well. So wisdom is very much linked with making the most of our time and making the most of those opportunities. And I just wonder what opportunities God is going to give us with outsiders in the year ahead as an assembly. Because increasingly, people's hearts are fearful of what's happening around. As they see a world in increasing turbulence, as they see increasing dangers in the country, not sure whether it's safe to go here or there. Well, praise God, we haven't got to be like that. We haven't got to be fearful. But may God give us opportunities with the gospel. That's what we want, friends, isn't it? To share that gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with those outsiders. So they don't remain outside, that they can come inside, into the body of Christ. And who knows what the Lord will lay up for us in the year ahead. I perhaps sense that we will have more opportunities in this line as time moves on. Because of the troubled times we're living in. And they're not going to be in any way less troublesome, I believe. Because God is at work. These are not random events, friends. God hasn't just stepped back and allowed things just to carry on. The Lord is working out his purposes. And God's purpose, one of his purposes, is that all men should be saved. His desire is at least that all should be saved. Therefore, he wants us to make most of every opportunity. He wants us in this passage to make the most of our time, not to be those that sort of waste time by doing things we shouldn't be doing, by being involved in uncommanded work even. And part of that is to be wise. God wants us to be a wise people. Oh, friends, I don't know about you, but I'm not very wise. Naturally, there's not much wisdom in me. But praise God if you're in the same book, because it's not natural wisdom God is talking about here. It is the wisdom that's from above. is the wisdom that's found in Christ. See, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are found in Christ. That's where we get our wisdom from, friends. I don't want any of my wisdom. I want His wisdom. And it's when we have the wisdom of Christ that we're able to make the most of those opportunities. We're able to make the most of the time that we have. So friends, let's go looking to Him again. All the more reason to gaze upon the Lord Jesus, to go searching in Christ, in His Word, to lay a hold of those treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Let's not be unwise, that passage says, or foolish. What is a fool? The Bible gives us a description, you know. In Psalm 14, verse 1. I think it is. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. Yes, it's foolish to say that in your heart. But you know what? That can apply to us as well. When we live our lives without reference to God, as a believer, and we can do it, I've done it myself, we are being foolish. If we're living our lives with no reference to Him, any part of our lives, if we think we can closet our lives off and say, we're going to do this with the Lord seeking, but I'm going to do this in my own strength, that is foolish, friends. That's being a fool. We need to be wise. And everything needs to be submitted to Him. That's what wisdom, friends. And of course, we know that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That passage actually finishes with, in verse 21, with the fear of Christ. We need to be a people that fear God in this day. Well, time has moved on, but just look again at that passage. So then, do not be foolish, this is verse 17, but understand what the will of the Lord is. You see, friends, God is wanting us to understand what the will of the Lord is for us and for this assembly in the year ahead. And that's part of the reason why we are coming together to pray in the week ahead, that we can know something of His will. Now, He may not show us everything, I'm sure He won't, but He will move us on step by step. That's the way the Lord often works, or mostly works, I would say, because He wants us to go on trusting, go on seeking, go on moving with Him, so we can bit by bit lay a hold of the things that He has for us. So let's don't be foolish, friends. Let's be wise and let's learn and understand what the will of the Lord is. And Romans 12 tells us, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove or approve what the will of the Lord is. You see, we need our minds renewed if we're going to be those that are wise and understand what the will of the Lord is. But praise God, we can know what God's will is for our lives. The Lord doesn't keep it in darkness and just have some sort of fun at just keeping us in darkness. He wants us to seek Him, but He will reveal it at just the right time. He knows when we need to see the next step ahead in our lives and as an assembly. But it's only as we gaze upon Him, only as we go on seeking Him, that He will reveal those things to us. So let's understand what the will of the Lord is. And then it says, do not get drunk with wine, for this is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Well, friends, dissipation really is a squandering of all the resources that God has given us. And this has a wider meaning than just alcohol, of course. This means anything that can make us senseless and cause us to be really drunk in a spiritual sense and not alert and not awake to the things that are happening around us. And there's so many things that can do that to us these days, aren't there? So we need to be very careful that we are not living in such a way that things are being dissipated from our lives. But we are to be filled with the Spirit. And that is how we are as well going to be laying hold of what God has for us. We won't lay a hold of the thing God has for us in the year ahead if we don't know what it is to be filled with the Spirit of God. Yes, there needs to be that initial baptism of the Spirit. And if you've not known that, please seek the Lord for it. Come and speak to us about it. But you need to be baptized in the Spirit. But then we have to go on being filled with the Spirit. The correct translation, I believe, is to be being filled with the Spirit. Constantly knowing the fullness of the Spirit. Well, how are we to do that? Well, turn with me to Acts chapter 4. keep your finger in that page as well, we should have said. Verse 31 of Acts. And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken. Oh, to have a prayer meeting like that next week. I'm not promising that, but it would be wonderful, wouldn't it? Where they gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, the filling came because they were seeking God. Because they were seeking the presence of God. They were seeking to be with the Lord. And the Lord was able to fill them with His Spirit. If we live our lives without reference to God, if we're going through our lives and just occasionally referring to Him, we will not know the filling of the Spirit. We are to be being filled with the Spirit. And it is as we seek the Lord, as we come to Him. And the Lord doesn't give it either just to titillate us, if I can use that word. It is so that we can then do what He wants us to do. And if we read on here, there was a purpose for this. They were filled with the Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. May God give us that boldness in the year ahead, friends. How we need it in this day. And there's a right kind of boldness as well, isn't it? The boldness that the Spirit gives isn't brash. It isn't in your face. Oh, and how I've been grieved when I see Christians sometimes with this wrong kind of boldness, charging up to people, saying this and doing that with no sensitivity. That's not the boldness that the Spirit gives, friends. There's a boldness that God wants to have in sharing His word and speaking for Him. May God give us that in the year ahead, friends. May He give it us in the year ahead so that we can share Him with those that He brings across our path, that we might make the most of every opportunity that He presents us with. So, friends, God wants us in the year ahead to be constantly filled with His Spirit. Back to Ephesians 5, we'll finish with this. What we notice then in this passage in Ephesians 5 from verse 18, but be filled with the Spirit, and the next three verses are all the same sentence. So we can't divorce the next three verses from this particular verse about being filled with the Spirit. In fact, it's all reliant upon being filled with the Spirit. If we try and do any of these things when we're not in Christ as we should be, then they won't really have the effect God wants them to have. So let's read on. It says, they be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns and spiritual songs. That's strange, isn't it? Speaking, psalms and hymns. Some of you might be glad that some of us are not going to be singing to you. Mark's is laughing there. But to speak in psalm. What does it mean to speak in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs? Well, psalms are psalms of encouragement often and comfort to us and exhortation. Let's speak in such a way to our brothers and sisters increasingly in the days ahead. We're going to work that up, friends. The Lord will present the opportunities as we are filled with the Spirit. And hymns. Hymns often contain truths about our Lord Jesus Christ. And we're to discuss them and share them with one another. And talk with one another about these things. Spiritual songs. That to me speaks of things that the Holy Spirit is inspiring in us and giving us to share with one another. And then singing and make melody with your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. And then it says, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. We need to be subject to one another. What does that mean? Well, the Lord has given order in the church, of course. But there's a sense that we're all subject to one another. So when the Lord speaks to this one or that one, I don't care who you are, we need to submit to that. Obviously, we need to discern that it is of the Lord. But the Lord can use anybody in the assembly to speak. Any of you. Any of us. The Lord can give something to. We need to weigh it up, but then we need to submit to it. Say, well, yes, maybe the Lord is saying this. So friends, that's why we all need to be seeking the Lord together and individually. Because the Lord might give you something for the body. Might give you something for a brother or a sister in the body to share, to speak to encourage, to exhort, to correct even. So friends, let's make sure that in the year ahead, we are pressing on with Christ. And I fear this is a word not only to us individually, but to us as an assembly as well together. That we need to press on with Him, that we can lay a hold of everything that He has laid up for us. And who knows what that is. But isn't it exciting that we can do that? God has things for us to lay a hold of. And he wants to bring us into them. And praise God, he will do that as we put our hands in his, as we forget what's behind, as we fix our gaze forward, as we stretch forward with him, and we lay a hold of those things that he has for us. Blessed be his name. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for the encouragement of your word. We want to thank you that there are things laid up for us that we need to lay a hold of. We want to thank you in the first place that you've actually laid a hold of us in the first place. If it had been left to me or anybody else, who would have laid hold of us? Who wanted us? Not many for sure, but Lord, you regard us as a treasured possession. Lord, what a wonderful thing you've done for us. Now Lord, give us the grace, give us the will, the determination, the resolve to lay a hold of everything you have for us as an assembly as well as individually. Lord, show us what it is that we're to be laying a hold of, where we're to be putting our efforts in the year ahead. We want to pray for these prayer meetings this week as we set time aside. Lord, would you give us the inspiration of your Spirit, the direction of your Spirit, the leading of heaven, that we might begin to press into those things that you've laid up for us in the year ahead. Lord, we commit ourselves to you because we know you have the best interests of the assembly at heart. You want the very best for us, and we bless you for that. Amen.